Hey guys, it's Pastor Robert here from High Point Church. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to see y'all today. Well, actually, I don't see you, but you see me, praise God. It's been a tough couple of weeks, you know, all of us getting into a new groove. But I think that all of us have had enough time now on hearing about all that's going on and being home and being with our family and kind of getting settled into a new kind of a groove. And I think this is a great time for us to just start really starting to press in now to some things that we might not have had an opportunity to press into in the past because of busyness of work or family-related issues or all these routine things that we have to do all the time. The Lord has been so good that we have a mandatory vacation, praise God. Some of us aren't able to go to our job. Some of us aren't able to do the things and have the same kind of patterns in our lives that we're used to. And I want to let you know, we can really take advantage of this time that we have right now. And I would like to encourage you to take advantage of the time that you have right now. Last week in healing school, it was pretty good. We were talking about the difference between the spirit and the flesh and how we need to walk and live according to the spirit and not according to the flesh, because the flesh profits nothing. It really does nothing for the kingdom of God. But we're still living our life in the spirit on this earth in these flesh vessels. So we have to learn how to continually groom our hearts and our minds to who we really are in the spirit. And this is going to be no exception. You're going to have another opportunity today. Praise God. I would like to remind you guys something. You probably know it. You're probably very familiar with it. But I find that sometimes we forget to do these things. And so I just want to remind you and stir you up that it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus in our lives. It's not about what's happening in the earth. It's about Jesus. And it's easy to get our attention onto the things in this earth realm because they seem important or urgent or powerful. But you and I have been bought with a price. We've been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we belong to Him. And we do not owe this world anything anymore. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him only do we serve. So we now live our lives not debtors to the flesh, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to give our attention to Jesus in this time that we have. And I have found that sometimes we worry about so many things that we forget to say, Jesus, what do you say about this? And we slow ourselves down and we ask the Lord, how do you want me to respond? How do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to prepare? How do you want me to spend my days? Lord Jesus, what do you want? What do you wish for me to do this day with you? And as we put our attention back on Jesus again, He will surely lead us. You remember in the Bible, I think it's in 1 Corinthians. This is Paul talking. 2 Corinthians. It's in 2 Corinthians. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 22. I'm going to read verse 20, 21, and 22. All right? So I'm going to read 22 first, and then we're going to go back. So in 22 it says, who also, this is Christ Jesus, has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. He's given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So now let's go back up to 20 and read 20, 21, and 22. Just as a reminder, okay? It says, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. To the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as the guarantee. So you and I have the Holy Spirit in our hearts as our guarantee. That means we are never without God. We are never alone. We are never on our own solving these problems and dealing with these issues. We are with the Lord, connected and one spirit. Therefore, ask Jesus. Make a point of talking with your Lord, spending time with your Lord, and honoring your Lord in these days. Amen? I want to show you something that Jesus dealt with in the New Testament. Okay? So if you will, go with me into Matthew. And let's go to Matthew chapter 11. You see, this is healing school. And sometimes we get so focused on the healings that I need to be healed in my body. Or I want to be a minister who heals other people's bodies. I want to see the results of the healing that takes place in my body. I need that. Or how about emotional healings? So often we have issues in our hearts, our relationships are in jeopardy or damaged, and we need emotional healing because fear actually has a place to get into my heart because emotionally I'm unstable or I'm overloaded with all the things that I carry in my heart. And that means that the devil can actually start using, manipulating, and overpowering me in areas because I'm overwhelmed and I haven't been in a close, intimate relationship with the Lord, so I feel like I'm kind of separated and on my own. So here in Matthew chapter 11, I'm going to give just a recap and then we'll look in some verses. Jesus had been healing in all these different cities all over his world. And he'd been going from city to city and healing everyone who came to them of all of their sicknesses, of all of their diseases. He was raising dead people. He was opening blind eyes. He was curing, what is it when your body starts falling apart? Leprosy. He was curing leprosy. I mean, really big things. And going throughout all the city and hitting every single person that needed or wanted to be healed. Okay? Enough is in here about that. Then, remember, John the Baptist was in prison, freaking out, because here Jesus is doing all this stuff, and John's locked up in jail, and he's wondering, did I spend my whole life for this moment? Are you actually the guy that we've been waiting for? And that could happen to any one of us. And, of course, he sent his two disciples to Jesus, and Jesus went, and he talked to the guys and says, hey, tell John what you see here, that the dead are raised, that the leopards are healed, that the sick are made well, all of that. And then Jesus went on to speak to the rest of the crowds about how awesome John the Baptist is. But I want to remind you something, that John the Baptist came as a man, and Jesus says, if you can accept this, he was Elijah to come back and do all these things. But Jesus said that to you and me, that if any of us are born in the kingdom of God and are in the kingdom of God, the least of us, the worst of us, the very lowest of us that are in the kingdom of God are greater than John the Baptist, who was the greatest man ever born to a woman in Jesus' eyes. That's a big statement. So he goes on now, and let's go to verse 20. And after he was talking to them all about this, this is what it says in verse 20. Then he began to, now remember, he's talking to all these people. Then he began to rebuke the cities. All these cities that his disciples, he sent them out, and all of their cities is where he was visiting. And so now all these cities where he healed everyone and did all these miracles, and he proved everyone who he was and set them all free. He said this, "Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done." Okay, this is where he did the most stuff. Because they did not what? Repent. See, so many times we are so locked into what we can get from Jesus. A healing in our body, prosperity, safety, whatever it is that you're believing God for. Those things are important. And Jesus is so willing and able to give those to every one of us. But what's important to Jesus? Where does he focus his attention? Is it giving you stuff? Is it healing your body? Where is Jesus' attention? If we're not in intimate fellowship with him, we can't ask him and hear the answer. Now's a time in our lives when we can clean up our acts. Not that I'm saying anybody's out operating in foolishness. I'm saying that we have mandatory downtime. It's been a gift from God. So now it's great to be able to really interact with Jesus by the Holy Spirit of God, who is sealed in you, and God has anointed you, we read. It's not yes and no. It's yes and amen. So be it for you. So now look at this. So Jesus, after he rebuked all these cities that he did all these miracles in, because it's not about the miracles, it's not about the healing, it's about you and I changing the way we think. It's about repenting, metanoia, to really change the way you meet, the way you think. Now, meta means after, and noia means a radical change. Thinking radically different. So in other words, what Jesus was expecting from all of these people when he was going out and healing them was for them to start thinking differently about the kingdom of God and this natural world and who they are and what's available to them and who Jesus is and what he's sharing is a reality for them, which is that God has been united back with man, and that we are one with God again. That's what's important to Jesus, that we honor the Father and that we be one with God, that we walk in love with one another, and that we speak truth with one another, that we pray for the sick, that we heal the sick, that we prove the reality of the kingdom of God on earth with men now. That's what's important to the Lord. So, Jesus goes on here, and look what he says in verse 21. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." God wouldn't have destroyed Sodom if they would have just seen the Lord Jesus Christ and the miracles that he did. If Sodom would have met Jesus, they would have repented. But Capernaum, he says, is going to be worse than Sodom was. These are all these great cities that Jesus was doing all of his mighty miracles in and proving the reality of the kingdom of God to. Verse 21, "But I say to you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." This is harsh. If Jesus was saying this to us, whatever city you're in, that it's better for Sodom, Sodom's going to do better than whatever city you're captive and a prisoner in right now, because we're not allowed to socialize and mingle the way we used to. It's important for us to take advantage of this time that we have. So it goes on. Look at this in verse 25. At that time, while he's talking to these people, Jesus answered and said, this word answered doesn't mean like, Robert, what time is it? And I tell you what the time is. It's not that kind of an answer. It means this kind of answer is like he's going to address the crowd now and tell them something important. So now he's getting ready to do his exhortation or dissertation to this entire group of people who he has their attention. He's just rebuked all the cities that these guys live in. So now he says this to them. I thank you, Father. So he's addressing God now. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. He's talking to the crowd now. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Look at this. Come. He's talking to all these people that he's just rebuked. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Pastor Trey did a wonderful series on this. I think it was called Stressed Out or something like that. In other words, don't get stressed out, but stress out. Get it out of your life. And I want to let you know something. Jesus is talking about the very same thing because he understands something that you and I might not understand. So let me just share a little bit. Jesus did all these miracles, healed all these people, but they never really changed the way they think yet about who they are or the reality that the kingdom of God has come to men and is one with us on this earth. And now we are at peace with God again and joined with God. Therefore, these healings and these miracles come by the Spirit of God through us to do all these things. But if we don't repent, if we don't really take a look at our lives and start thinking something differently about ourselves, then really, what good is it? Really? If Jesus says all these cities that he healed and everything, it would be better for them. It would be better for Sodom. Sodom will do better than them. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Sodom's going to fare better than they are because they haven't changed the way they're thinking yet. So for you and me, it's really imperative that we realize who we are in Christ, who we've been told that we are, who Jesus in the Word has told us that we are, that our preachers have told us who we are, that we know the truth in our brains. But we need to change the way we think about ourselves and the situation around us. Jesus deserves your attention, not this virus. Jesus is the name above every name. Is that your reality? If it's not your reality, make it your reality. Get in the Bible. Get in front of the Lord. Pray, worship, adore him. Ask him questions and let him answer you. And focus in on the Lord Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. The answers are going to come from within you. Let's just say like your conscience or your inner man have to connect with Jesus to get the dialogue from God. Are you with me? Okay. So, Jesus is saying, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, that are got a lot of load on you. And some of us justifiably have to deal with a lot of things that we didn't have to deal with a month ago. We have worries and concerns that we didn't have to deal with a month ago. And it's easy to get overloaded with that stuff. But Jesus is saying by us reconnecting with him and coming with him, that that stuff gets laid down. All the burdens that we're carrying from all the stuff you're trying to do to be safe, you carry that stuff around. You worry about, is there a germ on a doorknob? And you're freaking out about this stuff, and it burdens some of us. It's a load that we're carrying, concerned about these things. I'm not saying to be foolish. I'm saying to let go of the worry and the concern, get reconnected with Jesus, and let him tell you how to handle things. Follow the rules, but follow the Lord first. So Jesus says to these people that when we follow him, he says to take his yoke upon him. In other words, hook up with him to what he's doing. How many of you, and I'm going to stand in the same room with you, how many of us, when we got up this morning, said, Jesus, what are you doing today? I want to join you in whatever you're doing. Who are you praying for, Jesus? Who do you want me to put my attention on? What are we doing today, Lord? And if you're yoked up with him, he says that he will teach us because we're connected with him in these circumstances. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's to be humble. And you will find rest for your souls. About your job, your future, what's open, what's closed. Do I have to stay in my house? I need permission to leave my house now. All these things that can be overloading us. We can, because we're connected with the Lord and we're asking him moment by moment, what's going on, what are we doing, and getting clear with him. He says, he gives us rest for our souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The way, listen, when we get all convoluted and burdened down, what that does is that creates stress in our life. This is what Jesus knew, that being overloaded with stress compromises our immune system. That's why the media tries to create havoc and panic and worry and fear so that you will be stressed, that fear can be on you. You can be stressed, which will lower your immune system, that will compromise you, that you are more susceptible to the virus. They are not out for your good. They are out to create havoc and panic. They are news people. They need something to talk about and to report. And it's not about what's good and godly and lovely. I had a woman just tell me today that for every hour of the news that she has to watch, she has to do 10 hours or 4 hours of Christian television or preachers because the yuck gets on her. You know, that's the same for everybody. When our stress, when we carry stress, when we're compromised, our immune system can't handle that and we can't respond in being strong. You know, another thing that is really productive in the spirit right now? Two things is really productive in the spirit right now. That is one, take your time when you're praying to see this virus hit its peak and start declining. When you pray, speak that the virus has hit its peak and now it's dissipating. It's declining. It's burning out. Speak life. There's no denying that it's here. But it doesn't have to have power. It can burn out. It can decline. Put your attention on that if you're going to have to put it on anything concerning that thing. The second thing is laugh. Have fun. Enjoy this time with your family. Watch things that make you laugh. Get out of the burden. The Bible says that laughter is good medicine. It's good. It's healing for your soul. We need to be vibrant and alive so our immune system is strong. And it gets stronger and stronger the more you're freed to relax. You know, they've done tests on our immune systems and on having to exercise our willpower over a moment like, I will not get sick. I will not get sick. I will not get sick. I will drink water. I will get plenty of sleep. I will take my vitamins. And when you are using willpower to be healthy, you're actually stressing your system out. Because you're deliberately holding this thing and trying to keep it strong and keep it alive. Listen, Jesus said that we can release all that stuff. And when we yoke up with him and he leads us and we learn of how he handles things, how he deals with it, and we start doing it the same way, that doing it with him, it's easy. It's light. And that way our immune systems can get stronger and stronger and stronger so that even if that thing comes in contact in your proximity by some strange way, it won't come near your dwelling. It won't have any power over you because your immune system is so strong, it just kicks it back out again. It doesn't. We all have all kinds of bacteria, viruses, and compromised whatever it is that makes us sick in our body resident right now in our blood. But the thing is, those things are opportunistic. They are looking for an opportunity to bloom inside of you. And if we don't give it any place, if we're walking in joy, if we're living a stress-free life, our immune system is strong and those things, they can't do anything. Here's another thing. This can be gross for some of you, so just have grace for me. It's the only explanation that came to my mind right now. When a person dies or an animal dies, we'll say an animal. Let's just say an opossum crossed the road and got hit by a car. It's laying on the side of the road. Do you think that bacteria swarms to that possum and then eats that flesh all up and decomposes that thing? Do you think all this bacteria that eats that possum on the side of the road and decays it is like floating in the air and it finally just, whoom, got him? No. Death is always resident in this flesh. But because of the life that we have in the flesh, it doesn't decay. The bacteria and stuff can't thrive and take over. The life that you have beats back or dominates all that decay and all of those things that will eat your flesh when you leave this body. It just keeps them at bay. So that's having a strong immune system. So these things can't erupt out of us. Now, there are some airborne things. We know that. But the thing is, once they get here, they can't find a way into us. Are you with me? By being strong in spirit, by being connected with the Lord, by being built up, taking his yoke upon us, and not carrying the stress around with fear. Amen? I hope this is edifying for you. It is for me, because it's really important that we lighten up and we just start enjoying this day. You know that? Play some games with your kids. Spend some time with the Lord. Practice seeing in the Spirit. Practice meditating on somebody. Have you tried that lately? Saying, Lord, show me somebody. Bring them to my mind. And I'm going to pray for whoever you bring to my mind. And I'm going to bless them and speak life over them. And you sit on your couch or in your chair and you think of somebody. And when they come to your mind, start blessing them and speaking life over them and just showering them with good words. I say, Lord, that was great. Give me another person. And all of a sudden, somebody else will come up in your mind. And you start speaking life over them and blessing them. And now you're operating in the Spirit in harmony and unison with the Lord, doing the work of God. You know, in John, somebody asked Jesus, Jesus, what do I need to do so that I can work the works of God? And Jesus said this, this is the work of God, to believe. You and I are called believers. We believe God. That's why we're believers. We believe God. So as we spend time with Him and He starts talking to us and showing us things, we can believe Him and do those things, and He backs us up in the process. Doesn't that sound like a fun life to live? I think it is. And it's easy for us to, because of all that we had normally, to get caught up in the routine of the day. Do you know how many people, this was not my intention. So somebody out there, you guys tell me when I'm coming up on my time, would you? So here's something I want to share with you. That so many of us out there have a habitual way of living. We get up at a certain time. We do a certain routine to get ready in the morning. We go to our job or whatever we do. We do our life there. Then we get off at a certain time. And then we come home afterwards and we do our routine at home. And this is our life. Well, that habit has been interrupted now. And because that habit has been interrupted, you can make new choices on how to spend your time. That takes conscious thought. That doesn't let the program that you've been running just automatically run the routine of your day. And that's been a little burden for many people, because so many of us have been caught in a routine of how we spend our day to make it work, that routine's been adjusted, and we have to learn how to spend our day now, because we can't just glide through it through the routine. We have to actually purpose today. What do you purpose now in this time that we have? Where do you focus your attention? Who do you say you are? How are you practicing walking these things out? You and I have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have been anointed by God. That's a fact. It's not a kind of maybe hopeful thing. It's a fact. So now, are we exercising that? Are we speaking over our neighborhood that we live in? Are we speaking over the businesses that we do get to go to when we get to go somewhere? Are we speaking over the employees that are in those environments, in the hospitals? Are we speaking life over the people that have already been infected? Are we speaking wisdom to those men and women that are seeing to it that future us will be safe? What are we focusing on? What are we speaking? And if you'll spend time with Jesus and ask Him straight up, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where are you working around me that I can join you, that I can work with you in what you're doing? Because I want to tell you, Jesus is successful. What He does, He's successful. You want to look really good in your life? Follow Him, and He'll make you look great. But we yield ourselves to the intimacy of being with the Lord, that we can accomplish those things that He wants to accomplish. Amen? Because it's really easy to feel alone. It's really easy to feel like you are a victim and you are, what's the wrong word? You know, some of us feel like if we get out there and get too close, we can catch this thing. And that gives us a victim mentality. Do you know Jesus laid hands on lepers? He touched lepers. Do you know what that means? You and I, without the Spirit of God, if we touched a leper, we would catch leprosy. And our flesh would start decaying. But Jesus touched the leper and healed him. Okay, not just the one. He's done lots of lepers. So it's about where your head is at. Who are you? Are you really sealed in the fact that you are a son or a daughter of light, that you are a son or daughter of the Lord Most High, of God Himself? Or are you still a flesh and blood person who needs God to keep you safe and rescue you? Now, I don't mean that disrespectfully at all to anyone. I'm saying that we can take this time to repent, to change the way we think, and to start thinking higher, bigger, with more enthusiasm and joy in our hearts to glorify God. Are you with me? Amen. So I just want to remind each and every one of you that the only contact that some of us get is through these videos. And you may know somebody that needs to hear this message. Send it to them. Share it. Follow us and send out these informations. Maybe one of us here at High Point or another ministry that you pay attention to can say it a little better than maybe you can. So share it or steal our stuff. If you hear us saying something that's really good that can help somebody, share it, steal it, make it your own, and you tell them. The thing is for everyone to be aware that the kingdom of God is with men, and we have been rejoined to our Heavenly Father, that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we have the Holy Spirit, and that we're sealed with the Spirit of God. If you're a born again, Spirit-filled believer. Therefore, speak faith. Live in joy. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. That joy boosts your immune system and makes you somewhat impervious to some of these things. So do what you can. Love the Lord. Love people. Praise God and enjoy your life, shall you? Because after all, we're on mandatory vacation, praise God. We get rest and leave and recreation now. So enjoy it, will you? I love you. We at High Point Church love you. And we just want to thank you for the time that you have here. And I enjoyed you very, very much today. And I look forward to all your comments. Thank you. Rachel, she's going to play for a second. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to just pray. And you just lift your hands wherever you're at. If you're driving your car, don't lift your hands. Lift one hand, amen? Unless you know how to drive with your knee. Some people can drive with that knee. But anyway, lift your hands. If you don't need to look, close your eyes. You can keep them open. But I want you to focus right now. I want you to focus with all of your being. In other words, with your ears, with your eyes, and with the eyes of your imagination, the eyes of your heart. I want the inside you to picture as I'm praying, okay? So that we can start seeing in the spiritual realm these things. We're going to pray that the coronavirus, this whatever it's called, is peaked and is diminished. We're going to pray that it burn out. We're going to pray that the glory and the anointing of God in you becomes evident to you and to me. And then we're going to ask the Lord to have a more intimate relationship with us so that we can hear him more clearly. Amen. So that we can really know what he's saying. So in these moments of trouble, we can be calmed and quiet our souls because the Lord is with us. Amen. So Heavenly Father, I just lift up all the people in this viewing audience, Lord, or in this listening audience, Father. And Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, for peace and safety for them. For the joy of the Lord to rise up inside of them. Lord, that you, as joy, reassure each one that can hear me or see me now, Lord. And that as we have our hands lifted on, that we receive you, Holy Spirit. We receive your anointing. We receive your person. Fill us up from the bottom of our feet, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Fill us up more, Lord. Flow into us, Lord, as empty vessels. Refresh us and renew us, Lord. We give you the praise, the glory. We are so thankful, Holy Spirit, for you. We're so thankful that you're with us, that we are sealed with you, Holy Spirit, for the day of redemption. When your glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, will burst forth like the noonday sun inside each one of us, that our glorified bodies will swallow up these mortal bodies, Lord. and that we'll be forever young and youthful and strong for all eternity in our heavenly bodies, Lord. Father, glorify yourself through us. Lord Jesus, I ask that each person that can hear and see me now, Lord, that our attention would be turned off of the troubles, off of the things that are different right now, and onto you, Lord Jesus. That you would get our undivided attention, Lord. That we would ask, Lord, what are you doing? That I can join you in your work, Lord. How do you want me to pray? Who do you want me to pray for? How do you want me to speak words out of my mouth? Lord, what doors are you opening that you want me to walk through? And what doors are you closing that you want me to ignore and walk away from? Lord, everyone that can hear me and see me now, Lord, I ask that you comfort them with your comfort. That any burden they're carrying, any oppressive feelings and fears that are trying to glom onto them, that they can lay them at your feet, Lord. And that they can connect and hook up with you, Lord. For Lord, you don't put anything difficult on us. You make it easy and light. Because you are the light that shines in a dark place. So Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we yield ourselves to you in this time, that the kingdom of God and that you, Father, would be manifest in the earth through us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We love you here at High Point Church. We are very, very committed to you, and you're on our hearts and minds. So you grow in God, would you? Because you're the light. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.